The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
June of 1994, the Ulster Volunteer Force killed six people in Heights Bar in Lochan Island, and what followed was years of silence, cover-up and corruption before a 2017 documentary confirmed collusion between the security forces and the UVF. And that documentary ultimately led to a number of arrests. Unfortunately, the arrests were of the people who made the documentary, not the people who were the subject of the documentary. One of those is Trevor Burney, and he's written the story of the experience in the book Shooting Crows: Mass Murder, State Collusion and Press Freedom. We'll get to the press freedom bit, Trevor, and how you found yourself in a police station for having produced a documentary. Before that, can you remind us of what happened in Lochan Island? Because one of the things as you read through this book is it makes raw again the brutality and horror of that armed conflict and also the recency of it, because there's a sense it's a long time ago. It's not that long ago. So maybe you might remind us of what happened in Lochan Island.
Thanks, Anton. Yeah, I mean, everybody remembers where we were on the night of 18th of June 1994 when, of course, we were playing Italy in Giant Stadium at the start of the American USA 1994 World Cup Finals. And it's a night, as I've said before, it's like our JFK moment. It's going to be remember where we were when Ray Houghton put the ball over the Italian keeper and looped into the net. But just shortly after halftime in the match, a gunman wearing a boiler suit and a balaclava walked into this little tiny bar, not much bigger than the room we're sitting in right now, where 15 men had gathered. They were watching the TV that was hung above the bar in the top right-hand corner. The door was behind them, and the gunman crouched into a kneeling position with an automatic rifle and opened fire, killing six men and injuring five others. One of the first to die was 87-year-old Barney Green, who was sitting there with his pipe and his half and of whiskey and his Guinness, and five other men also died. Frosty Rogan died. He was there to watch the match, but also to pick up two tickets, because Down were having a real run in the Ulster Championship and would go on to win the All-Ireland that year. But Frosty Rogan, who'd just returned from holidays the night before, he died. Dan McCraner, also another victim of that attack. And really, everyone in the North remembers, A, the match, but also the horror of the news coming through as the news bulletin started to break up the end of the match to let us know that there had been this horrific massacre and that people were injured, in fact, were dead. And the UVF claimed responsibility for the attack. And really, the relatives of the families buried their dead, the relatives of the victims buried their dead and awaited and expected the police to live up to their promise to leave no stone unturned. But of course, no convictions occurred. No one appeared in court. No one went to jail. And many years later, we began then to investigate what actually happened on this night for a documentary, and subsequently, as you say, now in the book.
You outline both that incident, attack, atrocity, and a number of the others that led up to it, because there was a pattern in it. And again, with all of them, you're struck with the horrendous brutality and pointlessness of it, the level of pain inflicted on so many for so little. You talk about the murder in the Lavery family home, and you've that story of Danielle Lavery in an interview subsequently saying that she could feel the whoosh of the bullets passing through her tiny fingers and into her father's chest as she watched him murder her father. The victims given the belief that justice was going to follow. This led to your involvement. Explain how you became involved and how it led to the revelations in respect of collusion.
Well, listen, everyone is aware, you know, that over 3,500 people died during the conflict. And unfortunately, you can't make a documentary about every single one. And every single one of them is due to have their life recorded and what happened to them. And as all these things, as a journalist, it really is about a story that comes to you. And this story came through my friend and colleague, Barry McCaffrey, who we began working together back in 2011, 2012. And Barry's family were from that area, and he knew the real sense of injustice that was deep in that South Down village and the area around Lochan Island. You know, Lochan Island is barely a church on one side, a church and a graveyard and a bar, and that's it. You know, there's nothing else there.
And it's worth saying the only motivation for the murders was simply religion. This was a bar full of Catholics.
Simply sectarian. You know, the UVF chose the bar because they knew that people were going to be there watching the match, and they knew that most of the people who would be supporting Ireland that night would be from the nationalist community. And this was followed the trend. Really, part of the reason why the title is Shooting Crows is that there was attacks on the pan-nationalist front that ranged from Bill Clinton in the White House through to the SDLP and John Hume, and everybody in between were seen as legitimate targets at that time for the UVF. And really, it was like the death rattle of the conflict. And really, what was happening is that those that were behind the scenes, that were pulling the strings of the loyalist paramilitaries, and that's exactly what was happening. Collusion was about pulling the strings of the loyalist paramilitaries and unleashing them on the nationalist community, to frighten them, to concern them, to upset them, to really destabilise the nationalist community as the inevitability of the peace process bedded in and ceasefires came. So anyway, we began to work with Barry McCaffrey back in 2011, 2012, and Barry brought this story and he began to talk to the families. And for many years, over 10 years, these families sat in utter and complete silence because the police had told them, leave it to us. We're going to get these guys. And for 10 long years, these families sat there believing the RUC. And eventually their patience wore thin and they began to talk to Barry and they began to campaign for truth and justice. And they lodged a complaint with what's known as the police ombudsman in the north. And then they began to talk to Barry. And in parallel, we began to investigate. And one of the key moments in everything that Barry and I did, along with our colleagues and Below the Radar and Fine Point Films and The Detail up in Belfast, was we received a leaked document that came anonymously through the door one day. And that leaked document was an unredacted report that sort of pulled back the curtain on the level of collusion between the RUC and the killers, that they knew that this gang, you know, this gang had not only killed Mr. Lavery in Belfast, it had killed the parts of this gang, had killed Paddy Keelty's family back in January 1988. They were armed with weapons that had been shipped in from South Africa that the security forces were aware of. And the rifle that killed those six men in Lochan Island and the Heights Bar was part of a shipment that had come from the Middle East, but organised by South African armed dealers that armed the loyalists and gave them the ability to carry out ferocious attacks, sectarian attacks like this. So Barry and I began to investigate. We had the report. I was working with an Oscar-winning director in the US at the time, Alex Gibney. And out of all that became we brought forward a documentary called No Stone Unturned.
Now, what's interesting is the way you describe the delay with the RUC and subsequent PSNI investigation could be interpreted as they were busy and it was complex. But you address that in the book and you say, one commentator described the PSNI strategy in dealing with the past as deny, delay and death. Basically play a long game. Obfuscation as the go-to tactic. Bog families down in court action or ombudsman investigations. Kick the ball down the road and hope the generation who pursued the truth most vigorously would simply die off. In many cases, it worked, not in Lochan Island.
Well, exactly. And that is exactly what many, many hundreds of families in the north have faced over the years. They've gone to the police and said, can you tell us anything? And the police say, oh, sorry, we can't tell you anything. You know, you've got to go to the ombudsman. You know, lodge a complaint if you want. And then they go to the ombudsman. You know, the families waited over 10 years for the ombudsman to bring forward a report. The first report would miserably fail to meet their expectations, and it was overturned due to a court action lodged by the families. And then a new report was begun by Dr. Michael Maguire, who brought forward his report in June 2016, and it confirmed indeed there was collusion. So yes, delay, denying to death are the three words that really sum up the inaction by the authorities towards giving truth and justice to families.
Interestingly, though, they acted with a certain alacrity when it came to yourself. You found yourself subject to arrest.
Well, yes. On the, you know, you can imagine anyone, I dare anyone to look at No Stone Unturned and reach a conclusion that the PSNI reached. And what they did is they saw the film. And in the film, we name the chief suspects. We detail how the chief suspect in Loughan Island, the man not only responsible for the Loughan Island massacre, but for several other attempted murders and murders, who had now turned to a new business of rat extermination. And we detailed his involvement, alleged involvement in these attacks. And the piece, and I watched the film along with many other people across the island who watched it, and decided not to go after the killers, but to go after myself and Barry for the leaked report. So they brought in a police force from England, and they pretended really they were investigating, whereas the PS and I indeed were resourcing and taking all the decisions in this investigation. And on 31st of August 2018, I was home with my family, and Barry was at his home across the city, when dozens of PS and I police officers came through our doors and arrested himself and Barry, and then raided our offices. You know, when they raided our offices, they took all sorts of journalistic material. They downloaded our server, of which 3% of our server had only to do with No Stone Unturned.
Now, can you just explain that, Trevor? Because there are those who might assume that that kind of thing is done where the arrest is arranged and it is very civil and organised. That wasn't your experience. This wasn't a quiet procedure.
Absolutely not. The PS and I had announced whenever we premiered the film that they were going to investigate the leak of the document. But like all journalists, you get a look at investigations of the leaks that kind of, they go away, they disappear, because nobody in the right mind is going to think that the thing to do here is let's arrest journalists. But yes, the PS and I took that decision, and I'd say they lost their moral compass somewhere along the line. And I think they were so heavily influenced by trying to protect the RUC's role in the past and protect the dominant narrative that, you know, the RUC had tried to hold the line in the north against these warring paramilitaries, when in fact the RUC, along with the British Army and MI5 and all the intelligence agencies, as I detail in the book, were active players. You know, these were informers. One of the people in that three-man gang that carried out that attack was an RUC informer. You know, we know that because the Ombudsman was able to find that, reach that conclusion. So yes, they came through their door, they arrested me, they arrested Barry, they brought us to a terrorist suite in the centre of Belfast, and they told us they were looking at offences under the British Official Secrets Act. Now that's, you know, as the lawyer Niall Murphy, my good friend and lawyer now, told me, as John Finucane told Barry, that carries with us a 10-year prison sentence. So we were very aware that this wasn't some willy-nilly kind of investigation, that this was very serious and threat to our freedom.
And you're not unique in being aggrieved, having been arrested. You are relatively unique in the subsequent findings, because the Lord Chief Justice, Sir Declan Morgan, gave a finding where he said that the warrants issued that led to the arrest and the raids on your homes were unlawful and should be quashed, and flung the entire thing out. One of the things, I was saying this to you in the break, when you read the book about the Loughan Island incident, about the subsequent treatment of yourselves, but also about the other atrocities, murders, torture, maiming, all that went with it, it brings it back into sharp focus, something that we have allowed to go very trust and rust. It has shrunk away. Is it a radically different judicial environment now? Is this something that we can enshrine in the past, or are there still lingering traces?
Well, listen, you know, one court case led to another. We are still at what's called the Investigatory Powers Tribunal in London. We lodged a complaint with it because we believe we were under covert surveillance, and in fact we were. The PS and I had agreed had been involved in a dragnet operation against dozens of journalists in the north, and I learnt as a result of that investigation. But in a hearing just a few weeks ago, a Durham police officer said and told the court that after arrest and that decision by Sir Declan Morgan, it was explained to him by a senior PS&I officer that really, here's the problem. All the lawyers, all the judges are all Catholics. That's why we lose these cases. That's why Sir Declan Morgan had come to that decision. So for a moment, can you believe what it's like to be told that in Northern Ireland in 2024 that the PS&I believes that the courts are loaded against them because of some sort of hierarchy of Catholics inside that system. Of course, anyone that knows anything about the judicial system in the north knows that that is simply untrue, and the PS&I has distanced himself from those comments. But, you know, there is something there in that, Anton, and that, how come that police officer said that? You know, and that's the most worrying thing. Are there senior officers within the PSNI today who believe that the system is loaded against them? And I think that's something that I think that is going to cause further inquiry and further investigation. But at the end of the day, for us as journalists, and what we are most concerned about is the surveillance of journalists, the surveillance of lawyers, the surveillance of activists. And it quite clearly, there's been something very dark within the culture of the PSNI, and a PSNI that we hoped was going to wash away all of the conflict that is a past. We're in 2024. We're 25 years after the Good Friday Agreement. We really should be living in a very, very different environment these days.
You talk about your own experience as journalists. What then about the experience of the family and communities around Loch Inn Island? Where have they been left?
Well, listen, we brought the book down to the families first just a couple of weeks ago. And I have to say, they are the most stoic, the most incredible group of families that you could ever want to meet. Not a hint of bitterness in these families. These families have got on with their lives. They live in a very rural, very mixed community. You know, they have their truth. They're very lucky, and they accept that as a result of Dr. McMaguire's investigation and Barry McCaffrey's work and many others' work in No Stone Unturned. And now the book, hopefully, what they feel is that they have been given the freedom of truth. And that has been the burden that's been lifted off their shoulders. So many other families are still looking for that burden, and they're very, very aware of that. But yes, Loch Inn Island is very much like it was in 1994. It's still a village with just a church and a pub, but it's a little thriving community, a community that lives cheek by jowl with its neighbours. And as I say, they're not a hit of bitterness. These are families that I cannot speak highly enough. I cannot really recommend a visit to Loch Inn Island if you really choose to be in the north. It's on just off the main Belfast and Newcastle Road, and O'Toole's Bar will be delighted to see you.
Well, the book is a fascinating look at press freedom, a fascinating look at state collusion, but also a riveting and very raw reminder of the horrors that defined that period from the mid-70s to the mid-90s. It's called Shooting Crows, and it is by Trevor Burney. Trevor, thank you very much.
Thanks, Anton.
Coming up,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.